Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Sweatman. This is Arthouse Garage, the snob-free film community. All are welcome, and we promise not to talk down to you. Today on the podcast, we are talking about the latest from writer-director Noah Baumbach, which is called Marriage Story. This film stars Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver as a married couple going through a divorce. You may have heard rumblings about this one because of its absolutely powerhouse performances, specifically from the two leads, but also from the supporting characters, like Laura Dern, Alan Alda, and Ray Liotta, all of whom are incredible in this movie. Perhaps best of all, this one is streaming now on Netflix. We don't spoil anything in this episode, but it's not too hard if you want to pause the podcast now and go watch it before you listen. Either way, I think you'll enjoy hearing from today's guest, James Basham, a filmmaker himself and Noah Baumbach superfan. You may remember James if you tuned into our episode on The Lighthouse a few weeks back. I actually recently had the pleasure of watching James's feature debut, which is called The Yankee, and it actually draws quite a bit of inspiration from the films of Noah Baumbach. So, here it is, my discussion with James Basham about the movie Marriage Story.
What I love about Nicole, she is a mother who plays, really plays.
What I love about Charlie,
he loves being a dad. He loves all the things you're supposed to hate, like waking up at night.
She knows when to push me and when to leave me alone.
He never lets other people keep him from what he wants to do.
Dad, you're too far.
I know. It's not easy for her to close a cabinet.
He's incredibly neat.
She's brave.
He's brilliant.
She's
very competitive. So I'll tell Charlie what's happening, and Cassie, you then hand him the envelope.
I just get nervous.
Well, can you unserve?
What do you mean, like take it back? Charlie and I are getting a divorce, Mom.
You can't be friends with him anymore.
Gee, Mom.
Charlie Bird.
Mom.
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 What?
Hello and welcome back to the podcast, James Basham.
Hey.
Thank you so much for being back. So I'm really excited to talk to you about Marriage Story. So when I had you on here last, you shared that you had watched The Lighthouse many times. I think three times, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood six times or something like that. So yeah. I'm almost afraid to ask, since this one's on Netflix streaming, how many times have you watched this?
So it's kind of funny. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is still my favorite movie of the year, but this is my second favorite. This one I've only watched twice because it's not one I want to rewatch a lot or kind of revisit a lot. Not because I think it's amazing, but it does not make you feel too great after watching it.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about that. So you're a big fan of Noah Baumbach, correct?
Yes. Huge fan. Yeah. He was a big part of my life for a long time. I remember seeing Francis Ha at Market Street in Little Rock.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I was the only person
Market
in the
street.
R.I.P. I was the only person in the theater.
Wow.
And I was in high school, and I read online that it was at Sundance, I think. And I was like, oh, I got to go see it. And I was one of those kids that if the internet told me to see something, I'd go see it. I remember being blown away by the aesthetic. And I love New York movies. Mm-hmm. And being a huge Woody Allen fan, it reminded me of his movies. And then I just fell in love with his work and started watching a lot of his stuff. I watched Greenberg and Margot at the Wedding. And Margot at the Wedding, which was a huge influence on me for mm-hmm. sure, because I love family dramas. And then when Meyerowitz Stories came out, I was very excited. A little disappointed that I had to watch it on Netflix, but it is my favorite. Meyerowitz Stories is my favorite of his films, even
really?
Including
okay.
Marriage Stories. Yeah.
Wow. I was going to ask that next. Like, how does this rank as far as the rest of his filmography for you? And did it live up to the hype? It sounds like it did if it's your number two of the year.
Absolutely. This is my third favorite Baumbach movie.
All right.
And yeah, it's below Meyerowitz Stories and Francis Ha.
Okay.
Because those are two movies that I can just put on and watch them anytime. Mm-hmm. I can watch them over and over and over again. Marriage Story it's funny, but it's a harder one to watch over and over again. I will say there are scenes I've rewatched many times. Mm.
Yeah, same thing. I've looked up a few on YouTube, and actually I was waiting in line at the pharmacy last night. I was like, what did he say in that scene? I looked it up on, pulled on Netflix and watched it standing in line at the grocery store.
It's kind of funny when you can watch a movie and then go, oh, I can go watch scenes from it.
Yeah. 2019, man.
Yeah, it's crazy times.
But it's so I'm a little embarrassed, I guess, because I've only actually seen, this is only the third Baumbach film that I've actually seen. Mm-hmm. It is my favorite of the three I've seen. Mm. I really was a big fan of this movie. So as far as the performances in the movie, is there a standout? I think they're all, I would say they're all very strong.
Yes.
Is there like one or two that stand out to you?
Yeah, it's hard because there's so many. Yeah. Of course, Scarlett Johansson is great. I don't think this is my favorite performance of hers this year, though. I think her performance in Jojo Rabbit is my favorite of her performances. Really good one. But this, she's incredible. I think she's getting some kind of slack on the internet about it. Mm. I think she's great. And we forget about Scarlett Johansson because she was in the Marvel stuff and has been in all this big bunch of stuff. Her basis is in independent film.
Yeah.
Movies like this.
Lost in Translation is one of my very favorites.
Yeah.
And she's great in that. Anyway.
Yeah. And so that was, of course, a great performance. The three of supporting performances that I loved was, I loved Ray Liotta.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna say him too. I'm a sucker for Wallace Shawn whenever he's in something. Alan Alda has my heart of the supporting performances.
Oh my gosh.
I love Alan Alda. But Adam Driver is he stands out as the best performer in this movie. I mean, he's just unbelievable. This is one of my favorite performances. This is probably my favorite performance of the year, let alone might be one of the top five performances of the decade. He's just he's just incredible, and he's proving more and more he is the best actor working right now. And he is he's just, I mean, his range is unbelievable. And I think in this film he's incredible because of his range of emotions and the different things he does. So what about you?
Yeah, I would say also Adam Driver, as far as the one that I keep thinking about, and seems like he's the one getting the most award talk kind of stuff too. I think it's really incredible because there's moments when it's big and loud, and there's moments when it's quiet and subtle. Yeah. I was telling my wife kind of about it, and she said, "So kind of what's it about?" Well, basically it's a divorce between two people. They're both pretty nice to each other, at the beginning they're nice people. It's not like a super at the beginning it's not a super nasty, contentious relationship, and you kind of watch it where it goes from there. But so Adam Driver for sure. I was also gonna say Alan Alda. We'll talk about kind of our favorite moments, but one of mine is with him. Ray Liotta, I was gonna also mention, so fantastic. I actually, kind of in preparation to watch The Irishman, watched Goodfellas actually for the first time. So I had a lot of Ray Liotta this week.
It was a Ray Liotta Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. And seeing him so young in that and much older in this.
It is weird to see him in a movie where he doesn't whack someone.
I know. I kept expecting him to pull a gun out.
Yeah. Just,
But I also really love Laura Dern in this.
Great.
I don't know. The performance is so amazing because I don't know whether to think she's like a saving grace and wonderful or whether she's a monster, and
you can feel both things
at some moments because it's really interesting. The first scene when she just first meets Scarlett Johansson's character and she's just kind of wooing her and drawing her in and making her feel safe, and then she later has these tirades, and I love the scene where she is basically talking about expectations that culture has of women higher than men as far as parenting goes, and then she talks about Mary and Jesus and God the Father's just nowhere. That was a really great little monologue from her. But great performance from Laura Dern as well.
And she's a interesting one because she'll go from, you know, there's the scene in the middle when they're in the conference room and she's saying very, you know, rough things about Charlie. And then she gets up and she goes, "Oh, I love your work." You know, she kind of defines the undertone of the untrustworthiness of these lawyers, these LA lawyers.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to bring up actually just the way this movie kind of, I feel like it has a strong commentary just about the legal process of divorce, mm-hmm. which I have not ever been very close to, but yeah. seeing here, like, they went in with really good intentions and it just pits them against each other. Yeah. And that scene, both the lawyers, they kind of switch to, you know, we're fighting each other, and then, oh, she's complimenting him. What do you guys want for lunch? And they're just like so into the food that both of the lawyers are like, they just flip a switch and they're no longer in like angry mode. And that's just how they operate. And I feel like Nicole and Charlie are just like reeling and not able to focus on who cares what we're eating. Like, I'm going through an emotional devastation right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And then there's so many moments in those scenes that capture what it's like not only to go through a divorce, but to go to the end of a relationship, because, you know, they are civil with each other, but once other opinions get brought in, other points of view, some kind of manipulation almost, you know, that when you go through a breakup, and sometimes you'll have those friends you'll go to and they'll hype you up and say bad things about the other person, and then you'll get mad. And then it just becomes messy when other people get involved in your business. And I think it was a great way of capturing that. And especially the way little things would, you know, this is a fun movie to rewatch, because you'll watch a scene where he didn't buckle in a car seat. Mm-hmm. And then later in the movie, they're using it against him in court, you know? So she like falls over drunk, and then later they use it again in court. It's very almost Hitchcockian, the way the script's written.
Little details. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that about it as well. So do you have, a favorite, like, kind of moments from this movie?
There are three that, I mean, without any spoilers, I would say there's a final scene with him and his son.
Yeah. I know which one you're talking about. And same. Yeah.
In the bedroom, like tears.
Yeah.
Like
that performance level from Adam Driver, incredible.
Oh my gosh.
Just the everything on his face. That scene is so good. Yeah, absolutely wonderful.
That scene, and I mean, there's a big, of course, with, you know, with any movie where a relationship ends, there's going to be a scene between the couple where they have a moment where they say things maybe they don't mean, emotions get high, and I think it has one of the best. There's a scene in this movie that's one of the most realistic argument scenes I've ever seen in a movie, where people say things maybe they don't mean. People show their emotions all over the place. I mean, when emotions are high and you're in not only like a romantic relationship, but a friendship, or you get in an argument, sometimes you'll say something you don't mean or say something shocking to bait the other person. And I think that captured well. But those are like two of my favorites, but my number one scene is a scene near the end where Adam Driver sings a song from Company, which is one of my favorite musicals, called Being Alive. And it's just a really great moment. And there's this thing, I did musical theater a lot as a high schooler, and my musical theater teachers would always say, like, you got to act the song. And I feel like he acts the song in that scene. And it's just a really, really powerful, a little emotional musical theater karaoke moment that I really appreciated.
Yeah, so, he does. Yeah. He acts the scene. I think that's a good way to say it. But at the same time, like, he's taking on someone else's emotions in the story of that song. Yeah. But he's also, it applies so well to what he's going through. I think that was a really nice touch.
Yeah.
And then she has a musical moment too. I thought it was nice that they both had a song. She and her sister and mom had that song at the party.
Different emotions.
Definitely different vibes for sure. Those are almost like back to back. But that big fight scene in the middle that you mentioned, I think that's a great moment too, because it gets so big, like they're just yelling, and it's very emotional, but it builds to that, you know, it feels natural in the way it gets there. So I keep just seeing like the clips of them screaming, like on Twitter and stuff, just like little snippets of it, and it's amazing like what they're doing. But I think even better is how they go from where having a nice talking conversation and get there. I think it's really really great. A scene stand up for me is when they have basically someone has to come to their home and watch him parent and kind of see if he, it's really funny. It's really tragic too. And we're trying to watch him as a father and I guess see if he's fit or whatever, however that works. But during the scene, he cuts himself like really badly on his arm. And she keeps saying, "Oh my gosh, are you okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's fine. It's nothing." When like, obviously he's like really bleeding severely. And like as soon as she leaves, he has to like clean it all up. But I was thinking about, I'm always looking for like metaphorical things. And I think that was a good way to sum up kind of what he's going through and having to hide it. Like he's in this room with these people and just emotionally bleeding all over the floor and having to just act like he's fine. You know, I thought that was a cool way to kind of capture that same feeling, but in a really physical way. But then another scene. So Alan Alda's character, when he first meets him and he's like so kind of paternal and loving, kind of especially compared to Ray Liotta's attorney character. And then but he finds out that Alan Alda has been divorced four times, or his character has been divorced four times. And during at the very end of that scene, he says, "You know, you remind me of myself during my second divorce." I thought that was such a clever and funny line.
And then he like eats the coffee thing or something. But
And then another, one of my favorite moments as well is also Alan Alda during the sidebar. So they're having the conference conversation. They ask for a sidebar, so it's just him and Adam Driver talking, and basically things have not been going well for them. And so what I think is so powerful about the script is that there's a few moments when there's just kind of something unspoken that you feel so deeply. So for instance, like when they're trying to order lunch and Adam Driver's like, "I could care less about lunch right
and
now."
And she orders for him.
Struggling. Yeah. But she does, she orders for him, which, so that's another nice thing is how there's still those moments of civility, like, and familiarity. Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But another kind of unspoken moment is at the end of that sidebar. Things are going poorly. Alan Alda's character says, "You know, maybe we have to give on LA," and he's like, he really doesn't want to give on it. He kind of comes to terms with that. You kind of watch him process that, and then. So I was talking. Sorry, I'm all over the place, but I was talking to my coworker about this movie, and that she had seen it as well, and I said, "Yeah, you know, at the end of that sidebar scene when he said something about like." He's basically not my son anymore or something like that. And I was like, I can't remember how the line goes. So that's the one I went back and watched, actually. And he doesn't say that at all, but that I just heard it so loudly, even though he doesn't say it. What actually happens is he's kind of processing that he's losing some of this. And Alan Alda's character says, "You know, maybe he'll do college on the East Coast."
And then he just
completely starts weeping. And then it cuts. And that's the end of the scene. But like for that, in that moment, you understand like, he didn't understand until right then how much this was going to hurt. That he's going to not see his son, you know, except for weekends or whatever.
Yeah.
Possibly that long. And so I love that moment because it captures so much kind of casting to the future and feeling about all of that. And it's great. We kind of talked before this recording about, you know, I'm a married person. Watching this as a married person or as a single person, I don't know how that affects things, but
It'll probably affect things, you know.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts as an unmarried person watching Marriage Story?
You know, it made me, you know, I'm in the stage now as a 20, I'm 23 years old, graduating college. Most of the people from my high school are graduating college, and a lot of people I knew growing up are getting married. And I've always been like wary of jumping into marriage unless you're like 100% sure. And this film just, you know, proved my point more and more.
I think that's a good call.
And it made, you know, it made me, you know, think about how if when you're getting married, you both need to be on the same page of what you want.
She has a line somewhere that, and I really like that they brought this in, like all the problems were there at the beginning. She says something like that. And it just took this long for them to kind of come to a head. And that's from, you know, what I've observed in the world, that seems to always be true, that there was something there all along that was an issue.
But they both, I mean, her wanting, he cared about the acting troupe and she wanted to go to LA. It's just, you know, there's a there was a lot of different of what they wanted.
Yeah.
And came to a clash.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I am married. I have been married for, wait, how many years? I should know. This will be 9 years in December, and actually like 2 weeks away. So I've been married for a while, and I think my
marriage is
very, very healthy. Yeah, and I have kids. So watching this just through the lens of like, I don't know, conflict, I guess, marital conflict, it felt true. Like
yeah.
I like how it opens up with them reading their letters of all the things they love about each other and how they admire kind of interesting things about each other. I think that it really, like, he's a self-made man. He can darn a sock, and he's not, he doesn't look embarrassing in public with his fashion. And that's hard for a man. I thought that was a good touch. And the things about how they parent and stuff that just felt, felt true, felt really honest. And, I think, I don't have a ton of conflict in my marriage. I don't know. It's weird to talk about a divorce story through my own marriage lens.
Yeah, but, you and your wife are very, I've met you both, and you're very, very, I couldn't imagine you guys having an argument like the argument in the movie.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's very kind. But, but yeah, I don't know if they're the way, you know, little things that you thought wouldn't be a big deal kind of grow in your brain and become a big deal. So I definitely, I don't know, I saw myself in both of the lead characters in this. And I like, too, that, I mean, I didn't expect it to have a clear, like, this person's in the right, this person's in the wrong. I think you can very clearly see, like, the motivations of both of them. And they both probably do good and bad things here. But anyway, just seeing the way, the conflicts, I guess, felt real. Again, kind of big and heightened. It hits those emotional beats. Really well, I think. But and then you were asking me before about kids too, and just thinking about with my own parents, and then now that I'm a parent, how it's one of the most tragic things about this story, I think, is the way their son is kind of picking a side with mom and with LA, and how hard that is for Charlie. You mentioned that you kind of felt similar things maybe about your own parents.
My parents, growing up, my parents are still together. They're not divorced, but I always preferred my mom. And I just knew a bunch of different people who, but my sister preferred my dad.
Interesting, yeah.
So I just always had a better connection with my mom. And I, when I was watching this movie, and I always got a thing for kids in movies where I'm like, they sometimes they'll just, if the kid is cast, like, if there's a kid that sucks in a movie, I'm going to be, it's going to make me hate the entire
you
movie.
You notice it, yeah.
Yeah. But this kid was really good. And he, I understood where he was coming from because, you know, he's a kid. He doesn't know, you know, he doesn't know that there comes a psychological toll that he wants to be more around his mom than his dad. Mm-hmm. I mean, that he doesn't know that. And it also showed, you know, at the beginning of the movie, he has a really great relationship with his dad at that point in the movie. And then it, you know, it starts, you know, going different ways. And I think with my parents, you know, as a kid, I leaned towards my mom, but I still had great moments with my dad. And, and, you know, she says, you know, there's a part where, Scarlett Johansson says, you know, he's in a mommy phase right now. So, you know, I just, you know, I get where he's coming from because sometimes some kids, you know, there'll just be a parent they are closer to. And then at some stages in life, they're closer to another parent.
But, I like that mommy phase line too. And it's almost like comforting Charlie, like, oh, this will pass kind of thing. But, you know, we're all thinking maybe it won't, we don't know. But I think that's true too. Like very similar. I was always really close with my mom and my older brother, much closer to my dad. And our personalities just kind of aligned that way. And now like watching movies like this and then having my own kids, I wonder like they were aware of that too. And my parents are also happily married for a very long time. So there's that. But there are definitely times too when my kids are young, 4 and 5, but you can sense like a special connection. My relationship with my daughter is different than my wife's relationship with my daughter, and yeah. And this movie kind of captured that really well, I think.
It does a good job at humanize. There's the scene that like stresses me out is, and I'm sure it stresses you as a parent, when he has to take him trick-or-treating, but he has to wait till he's done, and he's like, he's, you know, the whole time you're like, why is he trying, just go home. You know, like, he just wants to have a moment with his son, and he built it sucks because he like he has the Frankenstein costume for him, but he wants to be a ninja. And I'm thinking the whole time, like, I wish my dad was a theater director who could bring me Frankenstein costumes. I would think that was so cool. But
That scene is so tragic and hard to watch. You just kind of understand, like, he's going to be playing second if he's coming from afar all the time, you know, and how hard that's going to be. Wow. Well, any final thoughts? We've been chatting a while. It's been a really good discussion.
I think just my final thought in the movie is I think the only disappointment that comes is I didn't get to watch it in a theater, which is... I mean, it's cool to watch things at home and get them immediately, but this would have been nice to see in an audience. You know, see jokes land, see stuff like that. Same with The Irishman. And I mean... It's just another one of the sad parts of the film industry these days.
Movie industry in 2019. People don't think about something like Marriage Story as like a big screen movie, but I think anything like that, it's not just about the size of the screen. It's about the audience reaction.
Yeah, exactly. Being there,
the communal experience of it.
And the movie feels like a play, especially the way it's written. And the thing that makes plays great is audiences reacting to emotions and things like that. And I would, I think this would be a very interesting film to see with an audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not a date movie, but.
Yeah, for sure. Well, one day maybe Netflix will just own all the theaters and we can just
watch I actually have a question for you.
Yeah, sure.
Did you watch the movie with your wife?
I did not. So my wife is not as movie obsessed as I am. Mm. So there's that. But also, if she knows it's going to be emotionally wrenching, she has to be really in the right headspace for it. So I think that she might want to watch this if and when awards talk comes with it, because we like to watch award shows together, and she wants to somewhat be in the know with that kind of stuff. But she's pretty selective about the things she'll go through an emotional journey for, which I completely respect, because being a parent and all of that is emotionally hard enough as it is. I always felt like a movie that can hit the same emotions that I feel in life kind of helps me process it. I think she's probably just better at processing her emotions, and she's like, no, I'm good. I don't need to watch a sad
rather,
movie.
Rather escape.
Sure. Yeah. That's so cool. No, I think she might, but we did not watch it together. I would love to do that if she's ever up for it. We'll see. But
I'd like to see a Marriage Story like review from a married couple. That would be pretty cool.
Maybe I can get her to watch it and we can do a YouTube video or something.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you again so much for joining me, James. I think this has been a great discussion, and we will talk to you next time, James.
Sweet. Thank you for having me.
Very, very welcome. Bye-bye. And that is all for this episode. Thank you again to James for joining us this week. Thank you for tuning in. And if you want to keep up with all the things going on with Arthouse Garage, make sure to follow on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Letterboxd at Arthouse Garage. You can also go to arthousegarage.com. That will do it for this episode. Thanks so much, and keep it snob free. Bye-bye.